Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Gracious hosts, unique lodging, and tasty cuisine. New Mexico bed and breakfasts are New Mexico true. Our innkeepers are as special as New Mexico, and we're sharing their stories. Read about them and plan your trip at nmbba.org. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio's brand new New Mexico series. This is a series that is put together with the New Mexico Bed and Breakfast Association. And so every month, so every Thursday, second Thursday at 5 p.m. Mountain Time, we're chatting with innkeepers that are part of the association about unique lodging destinations, authentic New Mexico cuisine, you know, green chilies. Yum. Chocolate, margaritas, Frito pie, I'm just saying. Regional and statewide attractions, activities, festivities, because there's a lot happening in regards to events and festivals. Also, of course, we've got to talk about art when we're talking about New Mexico, shopping. There's a lot to talk about. So we're very, very excited to kick this off. And I encourage you to go to the website. It is nmbba.org. You've heard about New Mexico True, and this is as true as it's going to get, really. You go to the bed and breakfast, these innkeepers know what's going on in their region. They can direct you to the best places, but you really are in for a treat and a real authentic stay. And we know because we've done it. Also keep up with us at bigblendradio.com for the show. So we've got three board members from the New Mexico Bed and Breakfast Association joining us. So we're going to start with Steve Hyatt, because we've stayed with him and Kathy at Bodker Mansion of Old Town Albuquerque, and it's his idea to do this series. So welcome back to the show. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're
doing good. Doing good. And how are the kitties? Because you've got kittens.
Oh, yeah, we have two. They're fine. They're both sleeping. You know, middle of the day.
Yeah, that's what cats do. That's what they do. And they basically run the house, right? That's how it is.
Yeah, they're the owners. We just run the place.
Yeah. So everyone, Steve and Kathy run Bodker Mansion of Old Town Albuquerque. It's right adjacent to Route 66. You can walk to Old Town from the B&B. And this is, was it 1915, Steve, the bed and breakfast?
1912.
Wow. So, and I mean, you've got history from Elvis Presley. You've got all kinds of good stuff that has happened in the B&B.
We do. Elvis Presley, Machine Gun Kelly stayed in the house at one point.
Wow.
Janis Joplin, when it was a commune. At one point, the building was a commune.
Wow.
So it's been a lot of things in its history.
So you get to stay there and look out onto Route 66, and they've got a beautiful garden. I mean, it's just an amazing place. So I want to also welcome Becky O'Connor. Becky, you are in the neck of the woods, literally, that we love. You're in Gila, New Mexico, near Silver City, a wonderful art community in Southwest New Mexico, also close to the Gila Cliff Dwellings and the Gila Wilderness, Gila National Forest. So her and her husband, Michael, both artistic people here, own and run Casitas de Gila guest houses. So welcome to the show, Becky. How are you?
I'm great. Great. Thank you very much.
How is one of our favorite places in the world?
It's doing pretty good right now.
Yeah.
Cool.
Is it greening up? I know, because
despite the lack of rain, it is still greening up down here. Yes.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. Do you get a lot of guests for the Gila Cliff Dwellings?
We do. Almost everybody that stayed here has been to the Cliff Dwellings, at least they're on their first trip here. Everybody does it. It's a great place, a great drive right up through the wilderness.
Nice. Yeah, and is that part of the Trail of Mountain Spirits that you're on?
It's part.
Nearby?
We personally are not on that trail, but the drive to the Cliff Dwellings are part of
okay.
that trail.
And people can do that from where you are. And you're near the hot springs too?
No, we are on the western, actually on the western side of Silver City, halfway between Silver City and Glenwood. So we look at the western side of the mountains and the wilderness.
This just proves we need to get our butts back.
Yeah, you need to come back down. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Do a little more exploring.
Yeah, yes. And it's beautiful. And the Gila River is a wild and scenic river that is a special waterway too, that it connects to the Colorado River. Sometimes we need to take care of our rivers. And
yes, we do.
Definitely. But that's it's sure. beautiful this time of year. So we want to go over to Walt. Walt, you are in Santa Fe, New Mexico. You and Wayne operate El Farolito Bed and Breakfast. Am I pronouncing this correctly?
That's correct.
Farolito.
El Farolito, and we also have the Four Cucinas Bed and Breakfast. Oh, okay. Two properties,
okay, two.
A couple of blocks apart.
Oh, wow. Oh. So, and you have a vacation rental. Did I see that right, too?
Yes, we have a vacation rental out on 5 acres of land, 15 minutes outside of town.
Oh, wow. So how close are you to the downtown with both properties?
The two inns are very close. It's about a 10-minute walk to the plaza. You're close to the rail yard. You're about 10 minutes also from Canyon Road, foot of Canyon Road. So it's excellent walking distance from both properties to most of the sites in downtown Santa Fe that people like to visit. And Santa Fe has a free shuttle that runs people around. So if you want to park your car on our property and see all the sights of Santa Fe, you can pretty much do it without your vehicle.
Oh, wow. Mm. And they've got pedicabs too. But I didn't know about the free shuttle.
That's the neat. Free shuttle is running, well, because of COVID, it got a little bit deterred, but it's running right now. There's two different loops, one that takes you up to Museum Hill and Canyon Road, and then the other one is more the downtown historic area.
Wow, oh, that's cool. That's such a pretty place.
Santa Fe, we spent a few days in Santa Fe, and I have to tell you, it was magical. It really was. Mm-hmm. They were doing a concert series in the plaza, and then we kind of stayed there for a while. we had a margarita and then never went back to our lodgings for a while. We had a good time. Are they still doing that? Or I know because of COVID,
oh, yeah, changed. They've resumed, and there'll even be more as summer begins, that we'll have concerts. And there's actually exciting news on the museum front. They are currently constructing a modern art museum in the rail yard district, where the art collection from the Museum of New Mexico will be put. It's a pretty good sized structure. And then the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum, about 6 months ago, announced that they're going to eventually build another exhibition area, three times as big as the current one.
Wow. And that's a pretty big museum, you know. I love that gallery. But and the Museum Hill, I mean, I remember going up there, and you could spend days going to these museums, like the Folk Art Museum and the Botanical Gardens out there. And oh man, I love Santa Fe. I love all of New Mexico. I think what's great about having all three of you on is you represent regions that are really rich in art. And I think when we talk about New Mexico True, the arts are really a huge part of it. Arts and culture and keeping your natural landscape is also really a big deal. And Steve, the one thing you have in your backyard, and I mean literally even within suburbia and city limits, you have Petroglyph National Monument, which it's like, it's wild. It's right there.
It is. About 20 minutes from us. A quick drive, and you can see the largest collection of petroglyphs in the country right here.
Wow, amazing.
Man. Yeah. So this is so great about the New Mexico Bed and Breakfast Association, because people can go to the website, nmbba.org, everybody, and really plan your trip. You've got all these stories about the innkeepers on there, and that's something that's continuing on, right? So it's not just like a one-shot. It just keeps building, and that's part of the experience of going to a bed and breakfast, right, Nancy? For us is to meet the innkeepers.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. They always have tips. They listen to what you really want to experience when you go, even before you get there. So Becky, I wanted to start with you on being an innkeeper. What led you and your husband to say, hey, let's do this? And give everyone your website too.
Well, our website is casitasdegila.com. And we, Michael and I, have been here in Gila for 23 years. And before we were here in Gila, we were 7 years in Ireland, where we also had a B&B. That's what got us into, well, me anyway. I did some work in the 1980s where I had to travel. One time in a hotel told me that that's not what I wanted to do. And I started staying in homestays, which is what they were at that point in time. And from the first one I did, I wanted to have a B&B. I just love the interaction with the people that own these places, being a part of their home. And you know, B&B is different today. We don't have people in our home. Well, we did in Ireland for 7 years. We had people in our home. And that was enough of that. So this time we did it different. We have cabins for them, little casitas. But just meeting these people all the time from all these various walks of life from around the United States and Europe as well is just is fascinating. It's just great. So we live in a very rural, people would call it remote area, except that we're able to talk to people and interact with them all the time. It's great.
From all over the world. Yeah, and it's really exciting to see international travel come back. And I think travelers sometimes I feel are a little bit more used to bed and breakfast than Americans at times. And you know, as we traveled over the last 2 years, I think we stayed at 30 bed and breakfast or something like that. Actually, it's over 30 because during COVID, this was actually one of the safest ways to travel because innkeepers went the extra mile to if they were open. To make sure they were safe, their guest was safe as well. And it was just a huge difference in bed and breakfast travel from, you know, maybe even 20 years ago. A little bit more contemporary. Sure. And we also saw younger guests and guests who had been there the first time of being a bed and breakfast. So it's a really unique situation today to see the growth of bed and breakfast. But I wanted to go to you, Walt. What led the two of you to say, hey, we're going to do a bed and breakfast and then expand?
Well, we did the corporate thing for a while. That was my first career. And I was pretty good at fixing up properties and found that to be interesting. And it was kind of a natural fit. We took some workshops and learned about running an inn. And we liked Santa Fe because we thought Santa Fe had a lot of different things. If you have a poor ski season, then there's other events that attract people. And we've now been doing it 25 years. This March was our 25th year with El Farolito and 23 years with the Four Cachinas property.
Wow.
Cool.
Wow. That's amazing. Congratulations. Hey, we're on the same birthday as you.
Yeah,
guys.
We are.
For our Big Blend magazine. So that's cool. We can celebrate when we come back to Santa Fe again. We'll come see you. We'll bring champagne. That's awesome. But I mean, doing this, what is a highlight for you as innkeepers? Obviously expanding and it's, I mean, Nancy and I ran a bed and breakfast for 3 nights for some friends and did the cooking, the cleaning, the everything, and all I can say is y'all work super hard.
Yes,
like super super hard, and yet it's so much fun because like you're saying, Becky, about meeting all these guests and you can't help but just sit and chit chat with them, and then you're like, oh quick, we gotta run and do this, someone's gonna come in and check in, and so you're on this constant deadline. So with you having, you know, two properties, you know, all that work, you've got to have help obviously to do the two properties, but what's a highlight for you of being an innkeeper?
Well, obviously, I really enjoy talking with people, meeting new people and seeing a lot of return guests over the years. And I like to, I guess one of the biggest things is I get joy when I see that they are having a great time, when they discover a good restaurant or they find a piece of art that they need to take home with them or some outdoor event that, you know, they are impressed with New Mexico's landscape and beauty and take lots of photographs. So all those things are rewards. That yes, you had a good time, or even playing with our two little wiener dogs. One of them is very friendly, and people get the biggest kick out. I would swear there's more photographs of that dog around the universe than one could imagine.
Oh, wiener dogs are so cool. I know people that go to stay in lodgings just for the animals because they want that animal.
It's true.
You know, Becky, do you have pets at the casitas?
We have two young dogs, a 2.5-year-old and a 9-month-old, both Springer Spaniels.
Oh, wow. Oh, nice. Cool. Oh, energy.
A lot of energy, yes.
Oh my gosh, I know. Well, we pets it as we travel, we understand. And yes. If you may hear a dog just now, but Steve, tell us a little bit about you and Kathy. I know we've talked on other shows, but a little bit about what led you to go, hey, let's get a bed and breakfast and start cooking blueberry pancakes.
Blue corn pancakes.
Blue corn. I keep seeing the photo of the blueberries on it, but blue corn is a New Mexico thing, and we will be covering that on future shows about New Mexico food, authentic food that you'll get to taste when you go to these bed and breakfasts.
Well, you know, on our 10th wedding anniversary, we stayed at a bed and breakfast in New Hampshire called the Motley Stark Inn, and it was such a great experience. We both said, "Hey, we want to do this." Mm. And so it took us over 20 years to get there. But when my career in corporate America was winding down, we were starting to wind this up and see what else we could do. And so 18 years ago, we bought the Bodker.
Oh, wow. Wow. Congratulations.
Ever since.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so do you feel, you know, as an innkeeper connected to the community? Because I think that's something to bring up that's so important about a guest stay, is about being connected with the community. And yet you have all the work you do running the property, you know, and connecting with guests, but also getting out there and really finding out what you can recommend, who you can recommend. Is that part of you have to go eat in the restaurants?
You do. Yeah. Twist our arms, right?
Yeah, really.
Yeah. You do have to be connected to the community, not just in checking out venues and restaurants and activities, but also participating in the community, in the different associations, the different community events. We all participate in those and help with those in one way or another. Mm. It's very important for bed and breakfast owners.
Well, we find bed and breakfast owners to be really passionate about what they're doing. It's not a job on the way to another job, or something just because you need a job. It's a passion. So the stay for the visitor is really fun. Mm-hmm. You know, and things are always clean. I don't remember ever being in a bed and breakfast where things weren't sparkling clean and the food wasn't good. I just can't even think of one.
Mm-mm. No. The 30 B&Bs have been amazing, and we've become friends with majority of the bed and breakfast, the innkeepers. You become friends over time, and some of our very, very best friends are innkeepers. It happens, you know, because you're connecting over like interests, you know. For you, Becky, I mean, you're in, you know, you're in remote Gila. So do you get out to be able to connect with people, or, you know, because I know you and your husband both do art as well, jewelry and painting and
cool.
We do. We have a gallery here for our own stuff and other people's stuff. So that's fine. Locally, I'm involved with marketing Silver City as a tourist destination. So I've had a pretty good handle on everything that's going on, even though we're 45 minutes from Silver City. So I don't exactly, you know, run around to events and stuff, but I know everything that's going on, and I can direct my guests to those things depending on their interests. But I think the nature of our place, because we are 45 minutes out of Silver City and sit on 265 acres, brings a different kind of person here. Mm. The people that come here, they're interested in hiking, they're interested in birding, they're interested in rock hounding, they're interested in nature. So they're not looking for nightlife, they're not even really looking for restaurants, because the casitas have full kitchens and barbecue grills. They're happy to cook their own food. And the fact is that a lot of these people, they work all the time. I mean, maybe they're working from home now, but they don't get a chance to cook during the normal work week. So when they take a vacation, they're really excited to be able to cook, to have the facilities to be able to cook.
That's actually a really big deal, because there's so many times that we have stayed in, you know, a vacation or a bed and breakfast, and there's even hotels where they say, oh, we've got an equipped kitchen, and you open the cupboard and they'll have a checklist of everything that's supposed to be in that cupboard, and it's not in there. It's happened. So when you go, like, you're always like, is there really going to be that pot and pan? Do I really bring in my food? You know, it's like, do you buy this? Because are they going to have it there? So that's a big deal.
We've got all that. We have all that stuff. When I set up the Casita kitchens, I set them up like my own kitchen. I mean, here we are. You're out in the middle of nowhere. You're 45 minutes from a grocery store. You can't exactly run out and get a jar of oregano if you need it. So it's there.
Do you make breakfast for your guests, or is it all like 100%?
We stock the refrigerators and the cabinets for them, but we don't do any cooking.
You know, that's really cool, though, because Every place is different. And I really love what you're bringing up about this, because that's part of the authentic experience. We were staying at a bed and breakfast up in Harper's Ferry in West Virginia. And she's like, we don't do breakfast here because our guests are out at 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, hiking, birding and getting ready. So it's a different experience. Whereas Walt over in Santa Fe, people are wanting the breakfast experience like they are in Albuquerque, right?
Yeah, we cook a hot entree every morning for as many, I've been now recently 28 people.
Wow.
For both properties. Wow. And food in Santa Fe, food is a huge thing. When COVID happened and the governor closed off areas or said that there needed to be quarantine, and then they were lifted, the first question they ask is, now that I can come to Santa Fe, what restaurants are open? And there was a little bit of a change in some of the restaurants, and it's now getting back to normal, or similar to what it used to be, with a few changes. But food is a big deal in Santa Fe. And so knowing where to send people, depending on what they tell you they are interested in, is a big part of the service that we provide.
You know, people really do want to try new foods and foods that are different from what they normally would eat on an everyday basis. Even if they're cooking it themselves, when you're stocking your cupboards and refrigerators, you're probably stocking with local foods, local spices, what they're tempted to use, just to see, can I do this? Can I do that?
Mine would be, okay, I can make a Frito pie. I'm qualified for that. You know, and okay, so one of you has got to tell everybody what a Frito pie is.
Yeah.
I know Santa Fe, you guys have it right there. Isn't it the Dime Store or something? I can't remember the name. Right off the plaza?
Yes. Although I'm not a big fan of Frito pies, but I think they're basically Fritos and beans.
That's like chili.
Chili beans. And cheese. Chili.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
But that's easy enough for me to make. That's all I'm saying.
It is. It's a three-step thing.
They can get pretty elaborate depending on where you go.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Well, I know what Steve, you make the blue corn pancakes, and that's something, blue corn is very much New Mexico. It's not just green chilies, right? So that's a big part of it. And I think too, like you're saying, cooking, I would want to go, okay, I want to try and cook something with green chilies while I'm in New Mexico. Does that happen, Becky?
No, I mean, I don't know what the guests are cooking for themselves. Oh. I'm sure they do, because when I see things left behind, I'll see little cans of green chilies and beans and all kinds of stuff left behind. So I think they are playing with the native foods, with the local foods.
Yeah.
Cool. Do they ever leave you wine?
They do.
They do.
Oh, good guess. Yes. Good guess.
Yes. Wow.
Okay. So I have noticed from innkeepers that how many of them actually get gifts from their guests, especially ones that have been there multiple times. Have any of you had that kind of happen? Like, Hey, we're going to share. Well, if you're getting wine, Becky, that's a good gift.
Oh, I have a guest from Wisconsin who brings me chocolate.
Oh, nice.
It is the most incredible chocolate I've ever had in my life. It's unbelievable. And if nobody else ever brought me anything but just this guy bringing me chocolate, I'd be happy.
See? But that's a thing of that relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Either of you have any of those kind of experiences from your guests?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've had guests send stuff. After they've left, they would send a box of truffle oil or something. We start talking about food, and then they know that you're interested in food, and then they have something at home that's a specialty that they're really proud of, and they end up sending it.
Cool.
This is cool.
Very cool.
What about you, Steve? Do people send pictures of Elvis and Janis Joplin?
No.
If it's Machine Gun Kelly, you've got to be worried.
it's really interesting. We had a guest. It turned out his grandfather was a photographer, and came through Albuquerque and Old Town in 1914 and took pictures of everything and sent us pictures of the Bonker just after it was built.
Oh, wow.
In a way that we had never seen it before. Mm-hmm. We actually have that in our dining room, that picture. But, you know, things like that are just, it's amazing when you get them.
That's special. Wow.
That is special.
That's really cool.
That is really cool. Mm. And so, Steve, one thing I wanted to touch on with bed and breakfast that we're talking about, you can have it in, you know, different styles, like what you're in Old Town, and then, well, your B&Bs are in Santa Fe. You can walk to different areas. So it's a little different experience. Becky, you having casitas is a whole other experience, but there is a difference. I know some bed and breakfasts do rent out through Airbnb and things and those different platforms, depending on how their property is and where they are. But there is, have you come across people who get on a website and think that bed and breakfasts are Airbnbs? Have you ever come across that?
Yeah, we do get that. Or where they talk about our bed and breakfast being an Airbnb. There is some confusion about that. A traditional mm-hmm. bed and breakfast does provide mm-hmm. a room and breakfast. That's okay. The whole point, or some variation of that, like Becky does. But it's a full service type of situation. You mm-hmm. meet the owners or the innkeepers, and the expectation is you're having this really great breakfast.
I think the big deal with what is happening with the New Mexico Bed and Breakfast Association and all the innkeepers, with what you're doing is you are independent businesses and you're actually having that real connection, real relationships mm-hmm. with your guests. And it's so special and important now because of how technology, I mean, it's great. Look at us. We're all connecting on technology. Great. But to have that in-person experience, I don't think we can beat that, to have that customer service. I think we're all tired of we get on the phone to someone and you're bebopped around, you can't hear what's going on. And you're like, can we just talk to a person? So when you get to a bed and breakfast, when someone is nice to you and welcoming and hospitable, you just kind of melt, you know, there's this true caring. Mm-hmm. Becky, do you have that happen with you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think I'm probably the only in the association who does not take reservations online.
Oh, wow.
At all. I have a calendar up there, but you got to call me. And I say it right on the website, call us. We love to talk to you. Wow. And people really appreciate that. I mean, no offense, guys, because I know you take all your bookings online, as many as you can, but I'm grateful that I'm in an area where that's not a requirement for me, where I don't have the intense competition that I have to be able to take somebody's reservation who wants to book at 2:00 in the morning. Our interaction with our guests is almost bordering on extreme sometimes. My husband does the check-ins, and Michael does the check-ins, and sometimes he's gone for an hour doing a check-in with somebody because mm-hmm. they got started talking about something. Yeah. And that's it. He's gone.
See?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wayne, tell us about Wayne's role and what does he do in the B&B? Does he get to do check-ins?
Well, he does take the phone reservations when we answer the questions. He also runs the El Farolito property, and I generally take care of the Four Cucinas property.
Okay.
And we do a lot of this stuff at either switching back and forth, but we have our primary properties that we handle, and he does everything from reservations to hosting breakfast to answering guest questions. Our guests, one thing I wanted to point it out about a bed and breakfast is not only do the guests meet the innkeepers, but the guests meet other guests, and they learn a lot from the other guests, because the other guests may have gone to a restaurant the night before and they're have recent information on how on some good dish or whatever, so you get their input as well, and a lot of times they become friends and exchange contact information, and that you don't get in an Airbnb situation.
So you're really right.
Most of the Airbnbs that I know of, there you don't even ever see the person that owns them. There's totally no contact whatsoever.
Yeah, it's that whole it's odd that way. I mean, some people like that, and I think that's, again, going back to independence. You know, there's something for everyone, and it's something unique. But you're really right about having those connections. We've met friends, you know, through staying in you know, lodging, bed and breakfast. And I don't know what it is, but if they have a sherry hour or a wine time hour, I don't know. But there was one B&B we stayed at, and they had a wine time hour, and we met this other couple and another couple. It was pouring rain, so none of us, we were all kind of like sitting there around the fireplace. And I don't know, we all started talking about, you know, different places we'd been and where we want to go.
It's fun.
But then, I don't know, but everybody's family secrets came out right there in the fire, around the fireplace. Yeah, we're like,
that was really interesting.
Go around telling people these stories. What's going on? And everybody's like, well, let's have more wine. This is funny. So even, I think there's something about meeting perfect strangers, and you're in this, you know, adventure together, and you get to know each other really quickly. It's really interesting, because you're bonding over like things. And I won't get into the family stories, but they are really funny. But we to this day, we still stay in communication. So you're really right about that, you know. The whole experience is exciting. And so I really recommend everyone go to the website, nmbba.org. I'll get it straight. So in closing, though, I wanted to ask each of you what's coming up in the area, what you want people to know about for summer and fall. I know everybody's in a different booking section of it. What's coming up for you, Steve, that people should know about for Albuquerque?
Oh my gosh, there's so much. We have, well, Gathering of Nations is this weekend. So, and for it next year. It's the largest powwow in the world. And it's right here in Albuquerque. Wow. It's amazing. It really is. But we have the International Balloon Fiesta coming up in October. And like Santa Fe, Old Town has entertainment four nights a week on the plaza.
Ooh.
Of various types. We have the New Mexico Jazz Festival coming up in July. It just goes on and on. There's every weekend, there's dancing at the Indian Pueblo Cultural Center. So there's plenty of culture to go around in Albuquerque.
And lots of public art. Santa Fe, lots of public art in Silver City. I mean, that's the one of the cool things too. If people are still worried about COVID, that's a really good thing to go on. It's like a treasure hunt going around. And, you know, Walt, over in Santa Fe, your Capitol building has an incredible art collection. I think that people should know about is to go there. It's a free gallery, basically, which I think it's over 300 or 600 artists from New Mexico represented there. I can't remember the exact number, but it's in the hundreds, and it is mind blowing. So, and of course, you've got a lot of public art too, but what's something you want people to know about for Santa Fe coming up?
Well, I think the big thing is a lot of events are kind of returning back to the way they were pre-COVID. The opera has a full season of productions planned. The museums have new displays. Right now, there's a really beautiful glass exhibit at the Indian Art Museum of Indian Art and Culture. And of course, there are, you know, the wine and chili food event in September will be back to normal, and there's a whole host of events. The International Folk Art show in July will probably next to Indian Market is the second most popular event in Santa Fe, and we're heavily booked pretty much through into October already. So people are looking to travel, and there's plenty to see. In May, there's the Santa Fe Century bike race.
Yeah.
That'll happen again. It was postponed or delayed or even canceled because of COVID. So the return of the general plethora of events will happen this year.
Cool. That's exciting. And there's mm-hmm. always something to do, even if you don't mm-hmm. want to go to an event. All of these cities are, you know, year round, by the way, too. And by the way, one of the most pristine forests too, Santa Fe National Forest, is beautiful to go hiking in the summer. Becky, speaking of nature, what's happening in your area for the summer? It's a good time to come out, right?
It's a great time. It's not the best time for hiking, but there's all kinds of other stuff that you can do. This weekend, for the first time in 2 years, the Tour of the Gila bike race is going on. It's back. That's a really big event that happens in the bicycle world. And Memorial Day weekend, the Silver City Blues Festival is back again after a 2 year hiatus.
And it's free. Yeah. It's cool. It's the largest free blues festival. Yeah.
And we got a little rodeo in June, and in July, the Clay Festival is back again for a week.
Awesome.
With all kinds of potters and demonstrations and things like that. And in August, there's a small hummingbird festival where they do banding up by Lake Roberts. Oh. So there's all kinds of stuff. And yeah, it's a little too hot to hike because you're out in the sun, but you know, we've got the river nearby, you've got birding, and birding is, a lot of that is in shady places. So it's a great time. And then you've got the monsoon rains, which are, I was hoping we get awesome. Them, but that can be an incredible experience to be in those rains, to see the rainbows and that stuff. It's just, you know, summer is unique in New Mexico.
It is. The monsoon seasons are,
it's cool. Like,
it's one of my favorite things about the desert and the Southwest. Mm-hmm. Monsoon magic. And I actually filmed a monsoon storm in Albuquerque from a rooftop. And I couldn't believe watching how the clouds danced and met. And just, I mean, it was like, you know, it was like a flamenco dance. Hey, nod to Albuquerque for flamenco. But you know, it is magic.
Yeah,
it is. It is. And you want, your body wants it. You're like, come on, give it to us. You know, and it happens. It's awesome. But you know, hiking, you just get up early in the morning. That's what we do, you know, and get out there. And then, you know, in the evening and summertime in the Southwest and New Mexico is magic.
It's beautiful.
So very cool.
And one thing that we have is really, really dark skies.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you can sit out there at night and look at the Milky Way without any light interference. It's great.
Magic. Nice. Well, thank you all for joining us. We're very excited about the series. We'll be doing the different regions on all these, you know, different shows every month. We're going to be looking at the seasons, what to do so people can plan in advance, talk about food. Okay, that's it. Last question. Each of you, one New Mexico dish that you think everyone should try. It could be something you serve or don't serve. So Becky, what is your favorite dish? And then give everyone your website again.
You know, when you're out eating in a Mexican restaurant, you got to have the sopapillas.
Okay. Sopapillas.
They're just incredible. My favorite food.
Tell everybody that may not know what a sopapilla is.
Sopapilla, it's sort of like fried dough. And you put honey on it, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful treat.
Ah. Nice. Give everyone your website again.
Casitasdehila.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Walt, what about you?
Well, we do a green chili souffle. Ooh. And that's very popular. And we make it without meat for those that are vegetarian, and serve meat on the side for those that eat meat. And but it's a nice light egg and cheese dish with green chili that we serve in a ramekin. And nice. So and I always say to people, I said, in order to make something New Mexican, we either have to add chili to it or pine nuts.
There you go.
Pine nuts. Don't forget the pine nuts. Exactly. Right. Chili. Well, give everyone your websites again.
Our website, you actually could just find one and that'll take you to the other. And the simplest one is just farolito.com. F-A-R-O-L-I-T-O.com.
Okay. What does farolito mean?
It means small lantern. It's actually in northern New Mexico. It's what most people call luminaria.
Okay, that makes sense. You're leaving the light on. That's cute. I like that. I like that a lot. Steve, what are you cooking?
Well, besides blue corn pancakes, we do a cheese souffle also on, and we put it on a bed of prickly pear raspberry ancho sauce.
Ooh, wow.
That's very popular.
Folks.
And for me to go out to a New Mexican restaurant, there's nothing better than Huevos Rancheros, New Mexican style.
I love that. Okay, this is bad. And everyone, it's Bodker.com. If I got it.
Bodker.com.
Bodker.com. How many B&Bs are a member of the association?
I think it's 19, right, Becky?
18, I believe we have.
Yeah. Okay.
Throughout the state.
Throughout the state.
Yeah. And it's really cool because you can go on the website, choose by the region, or just get a list. You can read about the innkeepers. So everyone, nmbba.org is the website. And see us back here every second Thursday at 5 p.m. Mountain Time or 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. So stay New Mexico true and go stay in a bed and breakfast in New Mexico. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cool. Gracious hosts, unique lodging, and tasty cuisine. New Mexico bed and breakfasts are New Mexico true. Our innkeepers are as special as New Mexico, and we're sharing their stories. Read about them and plan your trip at nmbba.org.